O-T-D-I-S.
At ATBM. How's the fog by you, W8RCY? Good morning. It's not bad. I'm on 53 and it's moving, but definitely some limited visibility. Wasn't expecting that when I woke up. Good morning. How you doing, sir? I'll never own or deserve the title of sir. Donald is just fine. But, yeah, I'm doing okay. I got up at 5, and I'm 85 feet up in the air in my senior tower, and I could see all the way down to 696. It's a little over about a mile away from me, and this morning I can't see anything now, 2 hours later. I just looked out, and there's a gigantic LCD marquee at that crossing, and it's gone. It's in the fog, and I've got a hospital, and hop, skipping, and jumping away, and I can barely, I'm starting to lose the parking lot light to that. So it's thick up here. And the reason why I asked how it was for you is, what is it like on street level? Street level's honestly not bad. Maybe quarter mile visibility. It's not like I can't see right in front of me. I can see 15 cars, so it's not terrible. But yeah, it's supposed to be what, in the 40s? And plus the rain, so yeah, I'm sure this is going to be a couple day deal because there's so much moisture on the ground. But I'm ready for spring to start making its way in here.
Yeah, just hold that in case anybody else wants to jump in. Yeah, I know, like I say, I know Sean goes out to work, goes out on Metro Parkway out by Freedom Hill Amphitheater. And that's all I know. That's a really foggy area. And I was just, you know, hoping I just hope he takes his time in getting there and everything, because it's bad. But yeah, I haven't heard any accidents in the last 2 hours from the fog. So, yeah. But other than that, though, nothing new on this end, really. I'm just, don't talk much. Probably re-talking less. But, I'm always around. If somebody just gives me a call, I'll pick up. All right, well, I'll let you get back on the road there, and Sean and the rest of the gang's going to probably chime in shortly. So I'll let you guys chat. Have a great day. Have a great week. And like I said, we'll at least be monitoring. W8RCY.
Good morning. So the visibility is about maybe a quarter mile down here, although I've got a river not far from me, and as Donald said, I'll be going over the whole Freedom Hill, Clinton River area. So we'll see. But yeah, visibility's pretty low down this way. Good morning, Dakota.
Morning, Sean. Donald, good talking to you. Have a good day, and maybe I'll catch you tomorrow morning. But yeah, I'm hitting Hall Road right now, Sean, and it does seem like it's getting a little bit worse the further south I get. But I'm looking at northbound 53, and I can still see headlights about a half a mile. So it's not terrible, but definitely foggy.
Yeah, shouldn't be responsible for. Well, I guess it could be responsible for some accidents. Now that I'm trying to get one lane over, I realize that my rearview mirror, the visibility is a lot worse than ahead. So, but shouldn't cause too many extra accidents. Oh, geez. Yeah, it's going to be, like you said, 40. So, it's going to be warm and moist. A word that people don't like.
Good morning, gentlemen.
I don't like that combination. I don't mind them independently, but it gives me some smells. Warren Anthony, go ahead.
I figure you guys are commenting on
lovely weather we're having on this fine Monday morning. This is pretty gross. I would, I'd prefer 25 and sunny to 40 foggy and overcast, but what are you going to do?
Hey, I wonder how it is out your way, being near the lake. I don't know if that's going to have any bearing. Is that frozen over? Probably not. I'm guessing there's probably almost no ice. All right. Anyhow, let's see. Can I turn? Yeah. So that's where it might be tricky. Anyhow, when it comes back around, yeah, how bad is it out your way? About, we were just talking about it here. It's roughly about a quarter mile visibility here on 16 Mile Road by DeQuinter. Dakota?
Definitely getting worse further east I get, so I'd imagine by Anthony it's probably pretty bad. I'm on a haul now and I can see, let's see, can I see the next light? I cannot see the next up, so yeah, it gets pretty bad.
Yeah, it definitely took over here, and was it yesterday, Saturday, I was over on Jefferson and pulled some ice. There's, in that section of Jefferson between Maross and Vernier, there's, you know, the open to look at the lake, there's some giant pressure ridges out there, you know, 10, 15 feet high. Well, there were the other day. We'll see. By the end of today, being 40 degrees, we'll see what's left. But there's definitely still ice out there. It's not as covered as it once was, but... there's lots of ice. I think I was able to see open water, though, you know, a couple hundred yards out.
Yep, and I wonder how the precipitation's been up in the north. I heard they had good snow. Right now that Works Warrior thing's going on. I think we got them on, I forget which one, we got them on two of the event channels. 6 and 7 or something like that. I don't know, but I heard they got pretty good snowmobile fundraiser. So if we did get a lot of precipitation and snow up there, then lake level should be okay. I don't know. What has anyone else heard regarding that? Because I know other places around the country haven't had a drop of rain. And I don't think we've had a lot of precipitation here. But I don't think that's necessarily the case upstate. What do you know, Dakota?
I don't know much about upstate either, but Friday was a disaster. It took me an hour and a half to get home, and I don't know, what did we get, 2 inches? I'm going to be pulling in this ATM, trying to pull in this ATM here. Last time I was here, I tapped my mirror. So you guys carry on. I'll be back in a minute.
It is snowing like every other day. They're getting measurable snow, so there's they're getting a real winter up there. And it, you know, like you said, those guys on snowmobiles have to be celebrating. They haven't even been able to get on those things in the UP for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I know north of Railing, north of Gaylord, those guys are snowmobiling like crazy. The ski resorts are loving it, so it's winter up there, that's for sure. Over to you, Sean.
Somebody doubled with you right at the beginning, trying to cut in, couldn't hear who it was. I did catch everything you said, but I couldn't tell who was doubling with you. So I will pass it over to them. Whoever it was that just jumped in, and then Dakota's in here as well. We'll leave a pause for him afterwards. Who was that?
It was Donald, W8RCY. I was just going to say, the weather reports this morning, there's a line of snow and mixed rain, freezing rain, Highway 46, Deckerville area. That area, everything north of that is catching snow today, and
And then everything south of that starts to turn to rain. And then once you get south of like maybe 69, it's going to be pretty dry down here. So north of 46 is where you're going to see snow and stuff. All right. I'll pause for Dakota.
Thanks for the report, Donald. I'm not mad that we're not getting any more snow or rain down here. These ATMs, man, I don't know how people fit in them. I think I have 2 inches on either side.
Yeah, I did see that there's a storm up north right now, so it's winter, that's for sure. I am getting on 696 to 7, or 94 to 696, and it is super foggy over here. I definitely would stick with the quarter mile theory.
Well, I'll be coming up here on Freedom Hill shortly, so we'll see how it's pretty bad there. Pretty low, got the Clinton River running through, and then up by my the Clinton River snakes all around my complex, so we will see. Say, well, the sun come up and burn some of this off, but ain't seen a whole lot of sun lately, that's for sure. So, yeah, I heard that. I heard we were getting good snow up that way, and that's good, because a lot of Michigan tourism depends on that winter. Isn't our saying winter wonderland? It's just wet and muddy. It's hardly what they had in mind, I think. Oh, man. Cool. I got antenna work to do, so I suppose I should wait until it gets worse, colder, if I really want to do it right. I was measuring my antennas with my rig blaster, no, not rig expert, right? Is that it? I was measuring my antenna and just for gigs to see where it was because everybody's talking about getting down on 8. And holy cow, it's down at 3,300 and 60, like 6, for 14, I'm down around 13. Man, I'm way, way long, so I got lots of trimming to do. Anywho, packed a lot in there. Donald?
Thank you, but I'm pretty much talked out for now. I got to get in the shower and stuff, but I just had that extra report to add about the current conditions to the north because of the snowmobile project going on, so... All right, again, I'm pretty much... Everybody have a good day. Be safe out there, those of you who are on the road, and we'll be monitoring throughout the day. W8RCY, we're clear.
Pretty gay on Hall Road as I drive with the lights off. Have a good day, Donald. Sean, I need to figure out what I'm going to do with my antenna because the farmer's cutting down all the trees like a complete moron, so... I don't know where I'm going to put that wire. I might have to switch to a vertical. Unless I get some kind of mass or something. I don't know.
To go to that tree that you put the wire in, they cut it down?
Yeah, but he's cut the ones down behind me. And the one that I put the wire in is on my property line. So if he touches it, I'm just going to turn into a dick.
Okay, over to you, Sean.
Okay, here we go, right in front of Freedom Hill. Not the same, actually. I thought it'd be worse, but it's been pretty thick. And not much different. I think I'm going over the river right now. When am I going over the river? So, still got that quarter mile thing going on. Yeah, going over the river right now. So not really any worse. Not really any better either. And, so what would I do? You gotta put up your own support, right? And, a mast, I've got those Roan masts that push up to about 42 feet. 40 is a really nice height. get down on as low as 80. I'll get your wires up there good and high. But, you know, if you don't have a house to clamp it to, you know, those masts don't work too well. They don't freestand all that well. I mean, you could guy them, but that becomes kind of messy. At that point, I'd consider, you know, finding 20 or 30 foot of that cheap TV tower or Ronin 25 and sinking like two or three sections of that. And then on the top of that, you could, you know, put a 10-foot mast and get you up to about 40. But, you know, then you got this, old tower. A lot of people have them out there because, you know, if you want any hope of getting any television where you're at, you know, you got to do something like that. So you could do something like that. You could put that, you know, put up 20, 30 foot of tower, and that'll get you a TV antenna. Get you down in Detroit or in the Flint for a TV, and, you know, and then also a good support for your wires. But yeah, if you got a freestand at one of those masts, not that great. Now, if you can get it right up near the house, which is a great place to have, you know, the apex of your wires, then you can, you know, house bracket it in a couple of spots, not too obtrusively, without any, you know, long lasting damage or anything, just a couple of screw holes. So it really depends on where you can put the support. But 40 is the target. I mean, anything's good, but 40 would be really, really sweet. Dakota?
Well, I have a Spider Beam 12-meter fiberglass mast, and I have a, like, one of those playset things that are all 4x4, 30 to 40 feet from the house, so doing some simple math, I think if I clamped it to that, which is staked into the ground with like 18-inch re-rod, that would probably eat up my wire for the most part. So maybe I'll do that. I just don't know what the longevity is on those fiberglass things. I don't want it to snap, but at the same time, I guess it doesn't really matter. It was only $150, and I think that's what it's meant to do. They sell hose clamps to lock it in place and keep it, you know, from collapsing in on itself. But I think out by me, the wire's the way to go, so I don't really want to deviate from that.
Go ahead, Sean. I don't have any input on this topic.
Right. Well, if it's that fiberglass mast that you had, I saw it a while back, that thing's really, really whippy toward the top, so I don't know how high you can get that where it's still going to be solid enough to support, you know, a decent wire. You know, but yeah, just like I said, whatever you can do to get to, let's say 30. You know, let's say 30 is not optimum, but 30 is kind of like the minimum. And then you can get up to 40, you know, you're really, you know, and I'm, everything is from a perspective for me, what I'm talking here. 75, 80 meter. You know, the rest are easy to get. You know, 40 is a little challenging, and you could get 30 foot, you know, 40 meter dipole, which is great. 40 is a real money band. It's got a lot going on. But if you really want to get, you know, down on the 80, you know, 160, all bets are off, right? But if you want to get down on the 80, you know, 60 is optimum. 40 is fine. 40 works really good. I've ran wires at 40 on 80. And I've been a big signal on the band, you know, at times. You know, so, you know, will 30 get it? Yeah, 30 will get you there too, but you're starting to get into the realm of, you know, now you're really going end-is, shooting stuff straight up. And, you know, you're not getting a whole lot of stretch on that. So, but whatever you can do to get up there 30-plus, that's the thing to be thinking. You can plant a tree and wait. You know, your kids will be able to hide some wires up. Okay, that was a joke.
I'm going to go on Facebook Marketplace, see if I can find, because I would like to just sink something permanently right on my property line and have it just going that way and be done with it. But my wife does hate the wire. I don't really blame her because it goes right across our door wall, and if you're in the living room, you look outside, you see it. So I might end up doing it anyway just to move it so it's on the other side of the house, but we'll see. I was just something I wanted to ask because I saw him cutting down trees this weekend. I'm like, of course. So, all right, well, I'm at the office here. I'm going to jump out. Early week for me, unfortunately, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, should be able to catch you guys out of here. I'll be clear for yours, gents. Have a good day. And APDF.
All right, Dakota, I'll be looking for you this afternoon and tell you my archery store story. Like I said in text, not bad. It's just funny how everyone's trying to sell you something. Have a good day. KE8RUH. I'll keep, John, if you're still in the car, I'll keep going, but I'll throw it over to you.
All right. Yeah, Dakota, have fun. And don't work too hard. We'll see you when you get out. Maybe talk to you then. And I am just coming into the Clem, and nothing much has changed. It's been, you know, that quarter-mile visibility, give or take, the whole ride in. So I imagine you're gonna see the same. I think, like Dakota pointed out earlier, it's a lot of melt on the ground, a lot of moisture on the ground and everything. So this isn't necessarily gonna be worse near the rivers or the lake. Maybe a little, but I think we're gonna find this is everywhere right now. A lot of moisture in the air. So, yep, as I make a big bend here near McLaren Hospital. Yep, it's about the same. Not good, that's for sure. Anywho, what else is exciting? Not much. Got to get my coffee here this morning, get going. Another full week. I think I got a day coming off President's Day. When's that? I think we got that coming off the 17th, so got to make it through to that.
Yeah, I took that whole week off. I'm headed on a ski trip, so that'll be good. I am also biding my time till then, so I'm right there with you. I got two full weeks of work, and then I got a week off.
Well, that sounds cool. Ah, damn it, I didn't make the light. Son of a biatch. Now this light takes forever to left turn lane on Grosbeck, getting into the complex where the Starbucks is. What time is it? It'll work. Well, that's nice. Have a week off. I usually don't plan any of my time off, a day here, but I don't really plan any of my time off until later in the year. And then I got all sorts of time I got to burn. And then I act like I got to complain about it. Oh, if I don't take every Friday off from now to the end of the year, oh, woe is me.
I know how that goes. I've usually not been somebody that takes time off until like June, and this year just worked out. We're doing a ski trip and then doing a couple days for spring break. So I'm front heavy this year, which I don't like, but it is what it is. I still have plenty of time to take throughout the rest of the year.
What do you get? I think I get over 5 weeks. I think I get like 6 weeks that I got to burn, you know, and then we get a lot of time off. We get all the bank holidays, so there's always a day here, a day there. You know, they give us Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, and they give us Christmas, and if they fall on a Saturday or a Sunday, we get the Monday or the Friday corresponding. Fantastic. The light finally changes for me, and an ambulance comes through. And is it going to change on me before I can? Oh, I can get through. Thank God.
Yeah, I get about 4.5 weeks, I think it is, and we don't get all the holidays that you do, but we get quite a few. We get the standards. We get Good Friday, we get what else? Memorial Day, Labor Day, 4th of July. Depending on when 4th of July falls, we might get the day before or day after. Then Christmas, New Year's, all that jazz. Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving. So, you know, in all reality, I get a boatload of time off, and most years I'm trying at the end of the year to get all my days in, because use them or lose them. So this past year, I worked, I didn't work a Monday in December and only worked like one or two of them in November. So it's definitely gets to be trying to use all the vacation. So I'm not real worried that I'm front loading it, but I like to have it banked up and use it all summer and whenever I want, and don't feel pressure or anything. But it is what it is. I'm going to go have fun on a couple trips early in the year.
Give me a second here. I got to pay for my drink here if it's going to come out. But, yeah, I would just be a little nervous. I'd have to drop if they open the window here real quick, but just so you know, if that happens. I would be a little nervous if I was front-loading and using up my stuff, thinking, what am I going to do? But you'll be fine. I mean, what difference does it make? And this is really the time of year to go places. You know, if you're either a skier or ice fisherman or a musher, or you want to go the opposite, you want to get away from it all and go down to Bermuda or whatever, you know, that's, this is actually the time of year to vacation, you would think.
Yep, sure is. It's just, you know, and it's such a silly idea that you constrain yourself by a 12-month calendar and get, in my case, you know, get any anxiety over using it. It's like, man, just go on vacation when you want to go on vacation and just make it part of your life and everything's going to be fine.
All right, I had to drop the mic there to grab my handcrafted beverage made with love and care. But I got a foo-foo drink this morning, which is not like me, so I'm going to pay the price for it. Oh, man. Yeah, I kind of missed my I love that my kids are back in town, right? You know, because now I can be grandpa, you know, I can be there for events and you know, my grandson's soccer and my granddaughter's dance recitals and, you know, and all these things are now on my list of things to do, and I get to watch the kids and, you know, make all their events, you know, birthday parties and all that stuff, so I wouldn't trade it for nothing, but I do miss Texas. You know, I did like going down there a couple times a year, and I enjoyed the drive. I enjoyed, usually made more of it. That was a big vacation for me. And always, I mean, the big one, the two-weeker, I always did around Thanksgiving. And that one, I always did extra stuff. I usually stopped in somewhere, you know, New Orleans or somewhere, and got a couple days in there and planned it around some, you know, visited some friends and, you know, that were on the path or close on the path. So, I do kind of miss that. I'm going to have to find another excuse to get me traveling, because I've got Emily reasons to get out of here. I got some extended family in the Pacific Northwest and some other ones near Phoenix, but I've like never visited them, so it would be kind of be in a whole new thing if I was going to do that. But if I ever do get, I keep looking at campers. You know, if I ever do get, I'm going to have to figure out where I'm going to go with it now that my kids live here. So. To use it for Hamfest, I don't know. I'm not going to those anymore much, so I don't know. So I keep looking at them, though. Ah, oh, man, really took a swerve on that conversation, eh?
Yeah, for sure. But you could always start going to Hamfest again.
Oh yeah, I'm sure I will. I'm just lazy and. You know, I look at, you know, I got this disease where, you know, don't worry about all that. But no, if I can't, you know, I don't feel like loading up the car and taking all this stuff and setting up a spot and all this other stuff. You know, so I don't go at all. But, well, why? You know, just go and just walk around, you know, and, you know, because then I'd figure to buy something.
No!
I'm going to hop out and pump gas. Let me get back to you. And if you are not in the car anymore, I'll catch up with you later this afternoon. KE8RUH.
Okay, I'll transition over to the HD. Go ahead and paint up, and we'll catch you in a few. W8FU.
KE8RUH. Sean, you still out there?
Test 1-2, am I in here?
You certainly are, sir.
Alright, I just threw the clear note online. Anyhow. So I've been meaning to get with you. I'm going to have you check the inventory for a laptop.
I should have some inventory probably later this week, early next. Is there anything specific you're looking for? I know when we talked in, at one point before, we said possibly a Lenovo, which I think is a good choice, but I do see good quality Dells on the regular. So, yeah, just kind of have an idea of what you're looking for, and I can definitely keep an eye out and score you a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I just, I'd be just, if you get something that looks kind of powerful coming through. I'm not really I'm not really looking for large, you know, so, you know, it's, you know, I'm not looking for the biggest screen, so I don't really care about that. In fact, I actually lean more toward the smaller screens, but, you know, I'm open to, I'm pretty flexible, just something, you know, a little bit more current than like my current rig. Battery life is kind of important, too, if there's something that's more, you know, good in the battery life department, even if it has to be re-batteried, you know. But if you see something that looks particularly decent, let me just, you know, shoot me a text or something, you know what it is. Lot of drive, like a lot of drive, you know, terabyte SSD, so.
All right, I'll see what I can find. They're, for the most part, they're all SSDs now, these little M2 drives. The majority come with a 512. Just that's the way business is ordered them. So there's always an opportunity to replace those. So that'd be something to figure out what you're looking for after the fact. But I'll look and see if I can find anything with a terabyte and something in really good condition with a good battery, stuff like that. So, yeah, just give me a little bit and I'll see what I can find. I don't, because the end of the month, I don't have any inventory right now, so we should be building inventory back up this week and next. So we'll see what we can find for you.
Oh, yeah, and keep in mind, this is more just kind of, you know, seeing what the possibilities are. I've been hemming and hawing and kicking tires for a while. But, yeah, my MacBook, I carry it with me to and from work all the time. That's my personal machine. And then that's the one I use if I ever do any computing away from home or away from the office. Well, personal, if I do any work stuff away from the office, I bring my work one. But I'm trying to just get down to two, something decent, you know, that can do all my private stuff, you know, my stuff, and then, you know, and then my work one. Because I just got too many. I mean, right here, right now, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 5 laptops, and then I've got 2 desktops. I'm tired of it. I can't keep track of all these.
Oh, I totally understand that. Yeah, I'll keep an eye out. I'll let you know what I find. I'm about to walk into the office now, so I'll keep an eye out for something good for you and see what we can come up with. This is KRUH. I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, that works. I got to start moseying around and figuring out what's broke, because it's Monday. There's always something. Later, Anthony. W8FU.
W8RCY. Another Blue Goose vehicle just got hit, 696 and I-75. Troopers requiring ambulance being distributed or dispatched, and that's all I heard so far. But man, a lot of police vehicles this year, even part of last year, have been just slammed off these roads. Pay attention, people.
NAKPD.
TEDIS.
NAKPD.
Or is it 5 o'clock somewhere that you're on the road, W8RCY?
I got to run out to my boss's house. His cameras are down, so that was my good morning from him.
Well, at least you've been able to see where you're going, and it's a lot safer on the roads.
Yeah, fog burned right off. I mean, visibility's still not good. Like, I wouldn't want to be flying, but driving's totally fine, though.
Yeah, I had to venture out about halfway across the campus this morning to go get a chiropractic adjustment, and I just got back about an hour ago. So, yeah. So I'm good for another, 2 weeks or 2,000 miles of my back and stuff.
I'm jealous you got one in walking distance. I haven't gone in a couple months ever since I torched my back. I think I saw him some 4 times in a week. And then it worked wonders, man. I was back up and at him following Monday. But I feel like I'm due. Everything feels a little tight, out of alignment.
Yeah, he did do a lot of pressure work on me. I was very, very stiff, and I didn't feel stiff, but he says you're like stiff and tight as a board back there, and he did a lot of compression and things like that before he started doing the snap, crackle, pop stuff, and I only see him twice a month. I have a copay I have to make, and he would change my insurance last year, so I used to see him once a week, now I see him twice a month. But I can see him twice a week if I wanted to, because he's here on Mondays and Thursdays. But on Thursday I do physical therapy, and that entails balance and movement of my lower extremities, hips, knees, stuff like that.
That's good. You're taking care of yourself, though. It helps helps everything in the long run. That's my problem, is I sit for a living, so everything gets kind of in that position and tight and locked up, and mobility in the hips and knees and all that starts to go away. So it's good good at your preemptively, you know, doing the therapy part of it.
Oh, therapy, that's the word. Okay, I'm just doing it because I'm getting sick and tired of being yelled at by doctors and significant others that, you know, you need to go see the doctor about this kind of stuff, or you need to come in and see the doctor about this stuff. So I'm just doing that to prevent getting yelled at all the time. But, oh, yeah, therapy, yeah, that's the word.
I got a call coming in. Give me 1 minute. DBF.
W-E-R-C-Y.
And ABBF, I'm back.
Welcome back. Yeah, on the senior campus where I live, I'm pretty much fortunate to have a lot of medical type care here. The only thing we don't have, and we've never had in the 11 years that I've been here, is optical. I have to go to my regular eye doctors and stuff for that. But we've had dental. We haven't gotten them back yet since COVID. But yeah, things like chiropractic and physical therapy, foot care for those that are diabetic or have foot injuries. We're pretty well blessed here.
Sounds like a good establishment where they're actually taking care of the residents instead of just trying to collect a fee every month.
Well, my rent is also state subsidized, so I save a few bucks there because of my disability and so on and so forth. But I don't live in the Taj Mahal, but I'm grateful for what I have for the price I pay.
Speaking of your location, have you been messing with your mesh cash fantastic at all?
Actually, I lost interest in it and took it down, but I am still following it. I'm following Meshtastic on Facebook and the Meshtastic Michigan page on Facebook. I just don't see a use of it for me right now, and I don't talk to enough people besides my significant other. And we talk on the phone and text on the phone. We talk on Zello and text through Zello, and then I have my MI Turbo, which I talk to her on, and a little bit of texting. So I don't really need another device. I mean, it interests me, but, you know, I'm just not sure on it right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I've got a node outside at my house that's solar and has been doing okay. But, again, I live in the middle of nowhere, so there's not a whole lot going on. And then I was carrying a note in the truck every day to and from work, and I stopped doing that. So I'm not really partaking anymore. They're there, but I'm not actively messing with them. Just same thing you said. I haven't found a use case for it that I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll work.
Well, my side of the high-rise faces south of west. And at about a 30-degree angle off of DeQuinder. DeQuinder runs due north and south, so I face southwest. And I got about 25 feet of wall. I put it outside, yet I can still, you know, the GPS and everything like that shows everybody from where it's at. But I had it on my bedroom windowsill inside, and so it's showing that I was there, and it was getting a signal out, and Sean could see me. But Sean's a little over a half a mile from me, and a couple other people can see me. But, you know, guys like Captain Don or anybody else or even Dave, I mean, who knows how it was going to work. So I had to, maybe get an antenna outside and do all that. But like I said, I'm following it. I'm tracking it. I'm learning a little bit more about it. But we'll see what happens, you know, down the road. It's enough to spark my interest, but there's other bigger fish I got to fry. I got to get my DMR going, I got to get my digitals going, and my radios. I got to make my radios updated. So there's things like that right now I want to get done before Meshtastic.
Yep, I agree. My next project, I'm trying to find a desk. I don't like mine. It's too small, especially with an HF rig on it. And then after that, going to be antenna situation outside for my HF because I think the, I don't know if I told you this morning or you heard me, but the trees are starting to come down around me, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do for that. But yeah, agreed. I spent too much money on Meshtastic. I have too much Meshtastic and it's unfortunately not being used.
Well, basically, and no offense to anybody, I was kind of like a guinea pig just based on my location and being 85 feet up in the air where my balcony is. We just wanted to see if it would work, and it was working. And then Sean swapped out my device for a different one, and I was having all kinds of problems. So, like I said, it's enough to spark my interest and be a crash test dummy for the system. I don't mind it, but I just, you know, keep track of it and keep an eye on it when I got other things to do. It's hard, but who knows? Like they said, like all you guys have said, you know, this could possibly grow into something big. See where it can be used in other applications than it is being used now. And if it's beneficial, I'll jump right back in.
When Sean and I were talking the other day, you know, he was saying it's kind of like fits on a bull, right? Like what purpose does it serve? And we kind of came to the conclusion of, like, you know, if we're not going to mess with it actively anymore, at least leave the stuff on so the next batch of people that piques their interest, when they pick up their nodes for the first time, they see nodes in the area, and then, you know, maybe, who knows, it'll snowball from there. But I agree. I'm just going to maintain them, keep them up, but I know I'm not interested in doing the MQTT over the internet, texting people when I have a $1,300 iPhone. It does the same thing, but better.
Well, I feel the same way about ROIP. When I worked for Verizon and stuff, I had like two, sometimes three phones on me before they, this is after they took away multi-NAM phones. Now we're going back to multi-NAM capable phones where you can put more numbers. Phone. I used to walk around with two or three phones on me, and I don't need two or three phones. I'm down now to one number, and that's it. And having an ROIP unit next to me on my couch, when I've got a radio in front of me or over on my desk, I just finally got my desk in this past, a year ago I got my desk in. After being for 10 years, I found a desk that fit. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm limited by space, I'm limited by some HOA, and I just want to keep it simple. And having a phone, having a Zillow capability, and my Moto Turbo things to talk to the significant other on, I'm good.
I'm glad that the multi-band, multi-SIM phones are common now. It sucks the way the carriers do it, though. You got to pay off the phone before you can use a different carrier on the device. But I do the same thing. I've got an AT&T line and a Verizon line on my cell phone, and then I have an AT&T line on my watch, and then I have a Verizon line on my iPad. So I'm pretty much covered anywhere I go. I'm able to do whatever I need to do. And then I think I am going to start carrying a HT in my backpack, just a dual band analog. I used to forever, and I stopped, but I think I'm going to either buy a cheaper one or I've got a VX6R I might throw in the bag, but I don't need any other way to communicate. Everywhere I go, I've got a computer and a phone and a radio in the pretty soon a radio in the bag, and then I carry I've got a Garmin Montana that I take everywhere with me that I use for hunting, but that has Garmin InReach on it to where I can text to the satellite if I absolutely had to. So, Meshtastic was a toy, in my opinion.
W8RCY. Like I said, three devices for me. Two of them are radio, one's a phone. Yeah, I'm pretty well covered. I'll probably shrink it down to one radio and one phone once I get my motors updated and EMR put in and everything else to go with the GMRS, the 70 centimeter, and the M5 on that. And then I'll have my phone for phone and texting, and my phone can handle Zello as well. So, yep, that's about it. Two devices for me to carry on me, and it's I don't have it with me right now. My Twang, UV5R. I'll just throw that, like, in a backpack to have or keep it in the glove box or vehicle to have just in case, you know, just everything now is USB-C, so it's easy to keep charged and so on and so forth in a motor vehicle.
I still haven't crossed that Moto bridge yet, and it's not that I dislike them. I just, to me, they're huge, so it's like, I don't really want to carry that around. That's the only reason I haven't jumped on them. I bought that UV-25R Bofang. That's absolutely gigantic, and I know it's probably bigger. God, someone's burning so much oil. I know it's probably bigger than a Moto, but I don't want something that big in my bag, that's all.
Well, I got my Bofang from Mike over on the Troy 575 repeater, the administrator there. He got it for me as a gag gift when I got my ham ticket. And, I mean, I bought the extended battery for it, and I bought the Nagoya antenna for it. And it makes it almost as big as my Motorola XDR. But if you break it down to, you know, the factory battery and the factory antenna, it's not that big at all, really. It's a good pocket-sized radio. But, like I said, if something happens to that radio, it's no loss. I mean, I'm talking on my Wooksun right now, and I paid $180 for this radio, plus $20 for the Nagoya, so that's about $200, and they retailed for about $270, so I bought it on sale. And this radio here has been tricked out a little bit, so it's almost like an everyday carry right now until I get my Motorola's updated.
Which one is that? Because I've got a KG935G that I bought when I got my my GMRS license. I think I ordered it the same day. Awesome GMRS radio, but it's you know, you got to be careful what you say on fans, but it's a GMRS-only radio, which to me is of no use unless I'm doing something very specific like hunting.
This is considered the step-up radio from their normal line from Wooksun. This is a KG-UV9 series radio, PX, in the ham version. The GX is the GMRS version. But the PX, it can be tricked out.
Okay, I know which one that is. I think Dave has one of those. They have that quadbander that has always piqued my interest, but I've never pulled the trigger on it. I think it's a Q series or a K series.
I've seen it, but I think it came out after this AGUV9 series came out with the GMRS Pro, GMRS GX, and then the ham version PX. Those are the three models they make of this particular design. And the only thing negative about it is the screen is absolutely horrible in the daylight. It's got a tactical screen on it. So your choices are gray over white, white over black, which I use a lot. And then you have like a red over black and a yellow over black screen. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a tactical night radio. It works better at night than it does in the daytime. Quadbander! Holy moly!
Yeah, I don't know how much use that would be in an HD. Go ahead.
Just a real quick hello. Ran out for some stuff from the store, so I have my Barb's Patsy. And, we're just cooking. Should be ready when I get back to the shop. Hello. And I got a quad band Yaesu. That's 10 meter, 6 meter, 2 meter, and 432, or 440. And, you know, FM only. Although I've heard stories that they'll do AM, wink, wink, you know, 10 meter, wink, wink. But I don't know if that's true or not.
Did you say Barb's? Oh, wow, Barb's does DoorDash. I might have to give them a call. Get one delivered, or two of them delivered to me over here. Anyway, Dakota, go ahead.
Hold on, what is barf? I'm out and about and I'm hungry.
Well, Barb's is in Clawson, so I don't think you're going to get over there, but they are famous for their authentic UP pasties. They're very good. I've not found any better. I'm not saying they're the best, but I haven't found any better. And I usually, when I go there, I usually get one to eat that day, and then I usually get a frozen one that I stick in the freezer or two, and then you just throw them out in advance and they're good to go. But, they're the beef pasties. Although I think they also have chicken, but I always get the beef. I just pulled up. Mine is cooking inside, so I got to get in there. I will. Wait a second. Was that transition? I'm going to transition. Go ahead, Donald. WFD.
As a child of the late 60s and early 70s going up into UP when my sister was going to Northern Michigan University, that's all you see once you cross the bridges, these pasties houses, and they're not really restaurants. They're just little drive-up shops, and you get these things, and it's like a meat pie or a chicken pie, but it's a lump. And you just look at it, and you hold it in your hand, and it's like a brick. And you can really only eat one. But as far as the quality, Barb's here, like Sean said, it's in Clawson off of 14 Mile and Main Street or Livernois. They are the best and the closest to what they have up north. And I guarantee me, I have an appetite, and I can easily eat one, more than one. And I've tried and miserably failed. You eat one, and it just sits in your, it's almost like eating a punschki during those who celebrate the Lent season, those big donuts that they have during Ash Wednesday and stuff. It's kind of like that, but it's a better delicacy than a punschki.
All right, now I got to definitely stop before I get there because I'm starving. I'm heading west on Telegraph. I don't think I'm going to pass anything on this side.
Well, like I say, if you're in Clawson, it's on Main Street, a.k.a. Livernois. Or Livernois, a.k.a. Main Street, south of 14. I believe it's south of 14, because I go to a bar there at 14 in Main. So, and it would be on the west side of the street. It's a plain beige brick building with some white paint on it, and it just says Barb's across the top. And it looks plain. It looks kind of run down, but they, like I said, they're the best, and they also do pizzas there. Their pizzas are pretty good. I've had them, but the pasties, you just can't go wrong. And make sure you get the gravy for them. And they serve them hot, and they serve them frozen, like Sean said, so you can, like, stock up on them.
All right, I'll keep that in my back pocket, but I'm going to clear out of here. I'm almost there. I got to find something to eat real quick, and I don't know my way around here that well. So I'm going to clear out. Maybe I'll catch you on my drive home. Good talking to you, Donald, NADBF.
Yeah, copy that. Enjoy the rest of your day. I might be on the air this afternoon. I don't know. I might be monitoring the other side as well. I'm not monitoring the other side right now because there's really no action over there. But, if I'm not here, I'm on Troy. So, because I'll never leave Troy. W8RCY, have a good afternoon. Sean, enjoy your afternoon as well.
AFS Mobile. Okay, I say that's mobiling.
Hello, DDF.
W8RCY has sent you NDF or DNF, whatever your initials are. I sent you a link on Facebook Messenger to Barb's pasties place there in Clawson. So look on your messenger, and you'll be you got the hookup.
If I'm down that way, I will be sure to pop in there and check it out.
You won't be disappointed, that's for sure. One of the biggest, and, you know, obviously you probably have a home laundry machine at home, but if you ever had to do a ton of laundry, there's a really clean laundromat there, too, that's quite popular a block or so away north of that. And if you like whiskey and you like tacos, there's a really good restaurant just north of that, almost off the corner of 14th and Main there. So we'll hook you up when you get on that side of town.
If you like whiskey, unfortunately, I have a laundry room at home that I do not have to set foot in. I'm not down that much. I can't even remember the last time I was down that way, so I'll have to hit you and Sean up next time I'm over there.
Copy that. Once you see the website, you'll see, or at least their Facebook page, you'll see what other things they have besides pizza and pasties. So, yeah. All right, I just sent you a little help there to, you know, get you hooked up. Well, now I'll let you get back to your business. I'll get back to what I was doing. Nothing. W-8-R-C-Y.
W-8-R-C-Y from NADDF. Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to go get my hair cut here. One of my least favorite things to do. And maybe I will catch you on my drive home. Have a good day. NADDF.
W8FU, indeed, here. Yo.
Yeah, so I took, brought my repeater to the house and to hook it up to the amp, and I was able to reduce the output of the existing amp down to very low levels, and I was able to drive the new one, and, I was actually getting over 100 watts out. The thing is, I could get it so it could draw almost over 40 amps, which was, I think, beyond the specifications.
Yeah, you'd be wise not to take it past about a buck 10. That's what they're designed for. They'll do that all day. But I wouldn't take it, man.
Yeah, I had a 30-amp fuse in mine and it blew that. So I backed it down so it's just drawing right around 30 amps, a little under 30 amps, and it's putting out over 100 watts as far as my meter goes. It's picking my meter. So and I ran it for like a half an hour straight, nice and solid.
Yeah, find yourself a little cleaner solution for your intermediate PA and maybe that thing I suggested. And call it a day. You know, there are some filters. There's a pre-filter and a post-filter that is in the repeater cabinet. They're tunable. So if you wanted to get like that one intermediate PA, I sent you a link to, and you want me to pull the pre-filter out, you could put that in line. Anyhow, there's a lot of ways you can go, but get that intermediate PA cleaned up a little bit and put that thing in there, set it to 110 watts, and never worry about PAs again.
Yeah, well, like I said, the existing, the Kenwood PA is, seems to be very steady and running at about 3.5 watts. And that seems to be enough. So I'm going to keep that, try and see what happens. You know, if it craps out or something, then I'll have to look at something else. But it seems to work fine right now.
Oh, I'm certain it's working. I think it's pretty kludgy, you know. You got a 100-watt PA that's burned up. It's probably drawing excessive amount of current to give you that 3 watts or whatever it is. And it's got to be a lot of unnecessary cabling and connections and size and cabling mess. I don't know. It just seems, just doesn't seem like a very clean solution. I'd want to clean it up. Not saying it ain't going to work. That's not my point.
You know, actually, it's cabling and stuff is perfect because it's designed, you know, for the existing kit and everything's in there, nice and tight, and it's got its own power supply and stuff. It's separate, and doesn't seem to be drawing a lot of current. It's running very cool. The fans aren't kicking on at all that are temperature sensitive. So, I think it's good. Well, like I said, we'll try until it doesn't work anymore. Yeah, I think this is just lost one of the, you know, stages. There's like 4 stages in that amp. I think it just probably lost the last one. So it's just working off 3 of them.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, I know it would cause my butt to twitch, so I couldn't live with it. But it's working for you, man. It's working for you. No problem. You got your desired amount of power out. Doesn't really matter how you get there. It works for you.
Yeah, so, well, I'm going to put it back tomorrow. So we'll see how that, see if you can hear it. I'm sure you will. Loud and clear. So, and I'll bring that other power supply back with at breakfast next Saturday. You should, so you can put it back on it.
Okay, well, no rush, so whenever. I just wanted to get you back on the air. That was my goal. So when I leave work, it should be up and on the air, right?
Not today, but tomorrow. I'm going to try and get over there tomorrow morning.
Okay, then I won't try it when I get out on the road.
You can try it. Nothing will come back. So, all right. Talk to you later. APP.
W-A-F-O.
KGATFM. Good afternoon, sir.
What up, Davey, and what you up to?
Look at that, a little foggy. Huh.
What are you up to?
Oh, between meetings, and I'm playing a little FTA here, and then I heard you jump in, so... So, yeah, I'm distracted. Yeah, that's what I'm up to.
Yep, I know how that can get. Well, I'm starting my journey home, so there's that. Well, I got a sheriff's vehicle in front of me, and they don't want to make the turn. And now I know why, because they weren't turning. So why were they in that lane? Odd. Anywho, yep, on my way home, quite foggy still here on Grosbeck approaching Cass. And not a whole lot of plans for the evening. I do, I think, I don't know if you were in here when I mentioned it earlier, but I did get in the great, well, but I don't remember what frequency it was, but the great 80-meter experiment the other day, or a couple weeks ago, and I did pretty well, but then I checked my antenna with my analyzer. I got that Rig Expert stick, and oh my God, I can't believe how far off my antenna is. So I don't want to really do that today, but I'll have to wait until it gets really cold, icy, and miserable. Then I'll make sure that I'll get it right.
What experiment were you doing?
I didn't understand that part. So I remember we had wires down. I've got the fan dipole, the one that you made me the spreaders for. And so I took it down, and I put it up with all the spreaders, and it took me quite a while. This is like October. And I finally got around to it. And then I had a construction project that I had to take the whole damn thing down for, and I didn't get it back up till, before, in December. And I never cut the legs. I just folded them back, so, to tune it. And so when I put it all, I had to unfold it all to put those spreaders on, and I never retuned it. I just threw it up. And that's where it's been ever since I threw it back up in December, and I decided to finally check it, and I put my antenna analyzer on it. I was like, oh my God, I was resonant at 3,300 kilohertz, 6,800 kilohertz, 13 megahertz, I'm way long. That's, I got to get out there.
Ah, the fan dipole. Okay. Yeah, you probably have seen it on Telegram. I was playing with antennas, too. I threw that vertical up, and so far, so good. I don't really have any complaints. It seems to work, so time will tell. I'm going to still run one more experiment with, because my random wire was just kind of straight, not an angle in the attic, and some research shows that you're supposed to have like a pretty random pattern to it, and to try and get it to 450 ohm, without the un-un on it, so I think I'm going to go up there and give that one more try just to compare with the one I put up, so yeah, these few warm days, I've just been trying to take advantage of it.
What's the lowest band you're trying to get up and running on?
Well, I got 6, 10, 15, 20, and 40 covered, so I'm trying to get a decent solution for 60, 80, and 160. So I'm going to try to just piece together somehow about 130 feet. That seems to be the right number, and I'm going to try just stringing that all through the attic and see if I can get a solution for in the 80 and 160.
Yeah, that's gonna be a chore. But I'll be curious to see how it works. I did see that antenna you were monkeying with. So what I couldn't grasp from the picture is those coils. Are those counterpoises or are those the radiators? Because it looked like there was like a single radiator and all of those were like tune counterpoises or something, which seems odd. What is that I'm looking at?
Well, I don't really know. You can't find a lot of information on it. I only bought it because I could just squeeze it into the attic. That's the only reason why. And but the center feed of the coax does connect to the vertical mast. So those are like tuned radials, and they claim it's omnidirectional. So it's made where you can have you know, each of the radials out around that vertical element, or you can mount it on the side of a building and have, you know, everything in like a half circle. There's a way to configure it for that too. So yeah, I don't really know how the design works, but those appear to be tuned radials. That's my guess. And then on the vertical part, you'll notice some wider sections. I think that there's some traps on that as well in the center of the mast there.
Okay, that part I didn't catch, but yeah, those look like that's why I said, you know, tuned radio, tuned account, which is a counterpoint, you know. And you know, there's a lot to be said about that, because half the time when you're running a vertical, like a MTET or something like that, your biggest problem is your ground, right? And if you have a tuned radiator, you know, or a counterpoise, it would get a lot of that out of the game. And now you're just dealing with tuning up the wire. So I can see that. I just was the first time I'd ever seen a commercial attempt at that. And I'm sure it's been done before. But yeah, I was kind of looking at it, kind of scratching my head. Looks like they've got, as you say, tuned radials or tuned, like a tuned counterpoise for each band. And then something going on with the, I couldn't quite make out what was going on in the main conductor. So, interesting. So, it'll be fun to see how it works for you. I turned my buddy Mark on to it, who is very similar situation to you. He's got to get everything in the attic. And I know he's doing very similar stuff to what you're doing, so I pointed him towards it to take it in and see if it was something that maybe was of interest.
Yeah, it was a little expensive. I mean, it was like $390, I think, from the MDO outlet. But it did go together pretty easy, and the noise is definitely better when doing voice. And, I mean, I made a few voice contacts out of the house, so, I mean, it seemed to work. Everyone was claiming I was getting out good, so where with the setup I had before, I couldn't do any voice contacts, really. So it definitely cleaned things up a little bit for me. So at least it accomplished what I wanted to, which was to be able to do voice contacts. So it's not perfect, you know, but, you know, that's another problem to solve, right, the noise floor. But, I mean, so far the antenna did what I wanted. So I wish there was a little more bandwidth on 40, but, yeah, it's good enough.
Oh, yeah, that's where they're gonna get you, is any of those loaded antennas. You start the bandwidth starts to collapse pretty quickly. And even if you can find one that works pretty good, it's going to be pretty tight. So I haven't seen a way around that one. I was pretty happy with what I did see. My, like I said, my antenna's way long. It's just fan dipole, you know. So I mean, it's no black magic. Just your classic, you know, 468 divided by, it's just long, you know. And so I got to cut it. I got to figure out the length and cut it back. All pretty elementary stuff, but the bandwidth, even though it was way out of, you know, out of resonance where I wanted it, I'm pretty impressed. I was getting a full 200, under 2:1, and if I stretch that out to 3:1, which, you know, my internal tuner will do, you know, it's quite a bit more. So it's gonna give me a pretty damn good swap. I just got to figure out where I kind of want to put it, and If you set it up low enough, it is supposed to work on 10, you know, or 30 meter, which would be really, really nice. I don't know, though. You know, I'm really, really low, but yet I'm resonant way the hell high at 30 meters. So I'm scratching my head on that one. So suppose after I focus on getting it resonant where it's supposed to be, I'll worry about what I get secondary. Because 40 should get you 15, the 80 should get you 30. So, you know, it's all, you know, and then I got a 20 as well. So, you know, and then the 20 I could probably sneak 17 out with a tuner. I don't know. We'll have to see on that. But I wasn't really getting it for 20 and 20 and higher. And this was basically to get me on 80 and 40 and possibly, you know, I don't know if I could somehow tune it up for 60. I wouldn't mind monkeying with that a little bit. I'll take 30 and call it a day.
Yeah, go up in the attic and just make sure I drilled the holes I thought I did and another piece of coax will fit because I want to run a third piece of coax in the attic. That way I got my disc cone, this new one, and then just the wire. And then at least I should have everything covered. So that'll be the next thing, get the coax ordered, get a third run, and then that'll be it. That'll be as much as I'm able to do here. At least, so, yeah, we'll see. All right, well, it was nice chatting with you. I am going to let you go because I'm going to have a meeting starting at 4 that I'm going to prepare for, so take it easy. KE8TFM, I'll be clear on your final.
FK. Yep, heard you, Len. Heard you double there, so no problem. All right, I'll be curious to see how things go with that antenna. Catch you later. Enjoy your meeting. Go ahead, Leonard.
Get on you here. You're talking about putting up an antenna at your place here?
Oh, it's already up. It's a fan dipole, and I had it up, and then when I started doing a construction project on the garage, I had to take it all down, and then that is paused for the holidays until the weather breaks again, so I put it back up hastily, and I got to retune it, because I got that dog bone spreaders that Fabian, who was just clearing out of here, made me, and so I finally got those on the thing, and, you know, of course, now I got to retune the thing, so... It's already up, it's already there, it's already working kind of sort. I just got to get it dialed in, is all.
Got the room over there. Have you thought about putting a full wave loop up?
Absolutely. It's my goal. I just, before I do that, I got other projects, you know, throwing up a dipole, you know, or even a fan dipole or a G5 RV or something that requires one 40-foot support, you know, is pretty easy for me, you know, but you start getting into stuff like that, now we're talking about a little bit more serious, so I've been collecting up, you know, stuff to do just that, and that is the goal. I want to get something good. I want to get really good up on 160. And I want to get a loop up that'll do 80 and, you know, 80 on down. Yes, absolutely. But probably a project for later. I got other things have to get done, as you well know, before I start monkeying too much with any of that stuff.
The rest of us would drool to have the kind of room you have over there and ability to put up antennas. Well, you could. My next project is an N-fin. I'm going to make it cut right across the diagonally across my loop. It shouldn't interfere, I wouldn't think, as long as it's not touching. And and I'm going to have a fan. Like, I'm going to tie at least two, maybe three N-fins together. Just like you have a fan dipole, I have a fan loop, or a fan N-fed, and put them into the same arm. At least that's the way I think it's going to work out. So it'll be fun to try, at least. What do you think?
So you're talking about a resonant N-fed, I'm guessing. because most of the NSAID antennas I've monkeyed with have been non-resonant, and therefore they're a monkey band. But you must be, since you're talking about a fan NSAID, so to speak, I'll put quotation marks around that because I'm not quite sure I've ever heard of that. But I don't see why it wouldn't work. But you must be talking about resonant NSAIDs.
Right, yeah, it wouldn't work on non-resonant. Yeah, you're right. You're correct. So it's a half-wave NSAID. So we'll try it out and see what happens. And, I don't know if I can get have enough room here for 75 meters because we need 135 foot, I think, for 75 meters. I don't know if I can get that or not. I got almost 100 foot from the feed point to the end support, so I don't know if I'm going to get the 135. So, but what I really need is below, or the high frequency is what I really need, especially between 10 and 20. I can tune them in with my loop. I can tune all the frequencies in, higher frequencies, from 75 meters on up, but with the tuner. And they work fairly well, because they don't have to, doesn't seem to be that far off, just a little bit, and it brings you right in. So I'm really, I've had it up for 3 years now, and for 3 years or 4 years, something like that, and I've been really happy with it.
Yeah, I've never personally had a loop up. I know others that have with great success, and but I've never, you know, actually had one. But it's absolutely my, you know, my antenna I want to get to. And, yeah, it's just the dipoles are easy. I've never been a big fan of NFEDs, but I've never tried a resonant NFED, which supposedly should work just as good. But I've always had a really, you know, I've always had at least 40 foot, you know, right there by the house. So I run the coax up 40 feet and feed them at the center there and just bring them down inverted D fashion. And that's hard to beat. I mean, you know, you get even on 80, you know, you get up there at 40 foot with a nice spread out, you know, inverted D. And, you know, that it's just tough to beat. Which, you know, brings me to the, you know, you say you can't get there, you know, and making turns and curves and hooks and stuff like that is often not a problem, particularly on the lower bands. What about going up and then shooting for a high point somewhere at the other end of the 100-foot yard, if you've got that, if you've got a tree or something, and then go and then come down like a curtain, if you will, you know, up, over, and then down. Can you get it all? Can you get the 80-meter resonator on the property then? I don't even know if you have the necessary stuff to do that. You know, you'd have to have a support, you know, near the house that could take you up a little ways and then shoot across the one at the other, you know, end to come back down. So, but that would be one way to take several feet off of it if you can.
Yes, I am going to, that's what I'll try, and I'll try that first because if it doesn't work, then I can cut it shorter rather than add to it. I'll try that and get my 135 foot for 75 meters. I'd love to have a 160 foot, but I don't see that happening at this place. You could do it. You could do a 160 foot loop, a 160 meter loop at your place with no problem. But we'd all love to have that piece of property. Boy, that'd be great. Okay. Well, see, caught my ear. So I thought I'd just chime in here. Yeah, on your way home?
Yep, just rolling down 13 Mile Road here over by, where am I at? Hoover. Heading for home. And, I've been collecting up tower and other various stuff and everything like that. And, you know, I do have some trees that I can deal with and all that, but I'd rather deal with more predictable places to
mount it, and I can hide, you know, I can hide some tower sections, you know, back in the trees and stuff like that. So, you know, I was, that's kind of been my thought all along, if I could get, you know, back, hide amongst the trees, have a couple of 40-foot, you know, towers, you know, or 20-foot of tower with 20-foot of mast, you know, or something like that, and, you know, for points, for anchor points for the corners, and then something a little bit, you know, less, you know, because I could hide those, you know, back in the trees, and then, you know, and then something a little bit less obnoxious looking up near the house, and then I got a nice big walnut at the one part of the property. I could probably do it, get it up at least 40 foot. I know that would work for sure on 80, you know, and even on 160, I mean, if that's what you get, that's what you get. On 160, I'm looking for NVIS anyhow. I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to get up to 120 foot for the feed point or something like that, so why fight it, you know? I'll get something up for 160 one way or the other at some point.
I dealt with the building inspectors there in Warren in the last few years. I mean, if you go to put your towers up in the corners of your yard, you have to pull a building permit and to show plans and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I would do that for like the legit tower, you know, that crank over, that crank up tilt over. Obviously, I would do that, you know, that way, and you know, anything else like that. But what I'm talking about is hiding something back amongst the trees. I probably wouldn't call anybody on that. You know, they wouldn't. It'd be something that wouldn't be permanently mounted. You know, they just be supports for wires, and I wouldn't be probably pulling any permits for those. I don't even know if I'd have to. But yeah, if I do a legit tower, like if I get that motorized crank over 72 footer up, you know, I'm going to get that thing all refurbed and, you know, and done by the book. So yes, but some of the things I have planned, I have no intention of pulling a permit.
I imagine that tower, you'd want to put a beam up there with a rotator. That would be a really nice setup there, but it'd be more than just a support. That'd be something you'd want to put a beam of the rotator on, right? Right?
No, absolutely. I've already got most all the antennas. I've got a high gain, for the longest time I had a high gain TH7. That was going to be the antenna to go up there, and then recently I got a pretty sweet deal on a high gain TH11. So I've got a high gain TH11 DX that's waiting to go up. I'd like to get that up at least 50, if not more. And you know, at the top of that, I don't know if I'd put it at the top of that 72 footer. You know, that one there, I might focus on VHF, UHF. I got a 6 or 7 element, 6 meter beam, long boom, 6 meter beam. That's a real monster. And, I was planning on 6.2, 432. I was planning on mostly VHF, UHF stuff on the dollar tower up near the house where I keep the coax length short. And then the HF stuff could be, you know, on a 50 footer out, you know, back of the garage. And, you know, where 50 foot for 20 and up, that's a pretty sweet spot.
If anybody knows, you know what it takes, so it'd be fun to see it. And it sounds like you got a lot of friends to help you, but, yep, if I can help, let me know. You think you'll be able to do anything this summer?
Well, I'll tell you, as soon as the first thing I got to do is I got to get that garage rebuilt. I got it tore down, and I was hoping I could get it rebuilt by
But the holidays just came so fast, and I just didn't have time to shirt. And, you know, it, adequately. So as soon as the weather breaks here, real soon, for the month or so, I'm going to start seriously, I'm gonna finally come to the conclusion whether I'm going to build in metal or wood, and then get something ordered up. And hopefully I can have that done, and as soon as the weather breaks, and I got a tree or two that got to come down, got to get somebody to come in and do that before those start to green. So those are my priority objects, and after those two major things are done, then yes, I'm going to be seriously focusing on getting up one or more, you know, a few of those, some of these items. Hell, I got another tower I got to go pick up. I got another 70-foot freestander I got to go pick up. It's like, oh, like, what am I doing with all these towers?
You'd be the man to put them to good use. Yeah. Yeah, the one advantage of the tower is you don't have to worry about it swaying around like a tree would. You know, you don't have to worry about breaking lines and stuff like that. If you put them on a tower, you can fasten them up, and at least they won't snap a line. Okay, I'll let you go. You're almost home, so I'll say 73, 88 FK.
Hey, all right, Len. Yeah, anything that is in crank over, you know, crank up tilt over, you know, that's the only thing I can deal with. Anything that goes up fixed, I got a couple of freestanders. I got a 50-footer, and then I got a 70-footer. And if I was to put either one of those into play, I'd have to consider, you know, a bucket truck. And I've come to the conclusion some time ago that that's the way it's got to happen. I know plenty of people that climb, but, you know, I don't like being dependent. So whatever I do, I either got to be able to crank it down and fold it over and deal with it myself, or I got to be able to... you know, rent a bucket. And that's so bad. You know, you can rent a bucket. So I've been giving a lot of thought to that. But, again, this is all pipe dreams for later, and, or should we say antenna dreams. And I got other things I got to do before any of that comes to fruition. But I'm every day I think I'm a little bit closer. All right. Thanks for the drive. We'll catch you a little later. W-A-F-U.
N-A-T-D-F.
What's a shakin'?
Just leaving the office and debating on if I'm going to go put that buck booster in today or not. Dave gave me the idea of putting power poles on it, so do I really want to do that in this misty goodness?
I guess the real question is, how's it been running? You know, been accepting it since you, now that you know what it is and how to fix it, you just been putting up with it, or has it been good?
I can consistently pattern it, so I know exactly when it's going to do it and about how long until it's going to stop. So this morning when I drove in, I left my house at like 6:35-ish, and by the time I jumped on the air with you guys, I've been driving for 20 minutes, so it was fine. And then when I jumped in the truck earlier to go to my boss's house, it did it again, and then it cleaned up. And then now it's doing it again now, and I'm sure by the time I hit 53, it'll be fine.
That is so weird. I mean, you wonder what's going on with the truck electrical that what's got it down, what it, you know, why it's down there, you know, over. Well, of course, I've only had mine in one vehicle. No, wait. Yeah, one vehicle, so I really wouldn't know. I think, yeah. I never had the 500 in anything but the my Escape.
Well, I scheduled an oil change for Thursday, so I'm going to tell them to check the battery, which you know them, right? I'll drive it there after 15 minutes, like, oh, yeah, voltage is fine, and that's the end of it. Which I really don't think it's the battery. I think this is just where that truck hangs out. And I think the radio is overly sensitive. I just hope my hunch of putting a buck booster is going to pay off, and I'm not going to be sorely disappointed considering I should shipped out my 5100 today.
Oh, okay. Got it sold. There you go. So, very cool.
Yeah, I'm glad I went that route because I sold that for 400 and I paid 450 for it. So, I think I did okay. I rented a radio for 50 bucks for 2 months.
Oh my God, my street is a mess. You know, 40 degrees and all this moisture. Muck city. Well, yeah, that's surprising. You moved that pretty quick, so that's cool. And yeah, that wasn't horrible. You'd have probably lost more with the other one, I'm thinking. I don't know. I got mine on that super deal that they had when they first announced it. They had just this crazy good deal, and a bunch of us all grabbed them. And so I don't even know what I got into mine. But I could probably get pretty close to what I paid. If I were selling it, which I'm not, but I do got to decide on something. I got an FTM 200, which I absolutely love, and I'm almost thinking about putting that back in the escape. And then, you know, then what do I do with the 500? Maybe move that inside and sell the 400? I don't know. I haven't really decided yet. Anyhow, I pulled up at home. I will listen to your comments and then make it my last.
That was my thought, exactly. I paid retail, well, almost retail, so I was about $600 into the 500, and I was going to sell it for $4, versus being $450 into the 5100 and selling it for $4. But by the time you add up the buck booster, I don't know. I'm pissed about the whole situation, but all right, I'm going to jump on the node, too, see if anyone's hanging out over there, so maybe I'll catch you there. NACDF.
Yeah, you can't do nothing about the milk that spills, right? All right, catch you later. Bobby interview.
NACDF.
Trying to blank on your name.
I didn't catch that.
It's drawing a blank on your name, Lance.
Oh, what's up, dude? You got Dakota.
Hard to remember all these names. And at home. I'm hour at home.
Yeah, I know what you mean, especially if you don't talk to them a whole lot. I'm doing the same thing. I'm about 5 minutes from home, but I had a 45-minute drive, so I feel you. I feel like that makes it even worse knowing that it's not supposed to be a long drive, but you don't have a choice because it's all tore up.
It's a long drive either way, but it makes it even longer.
My last job, I was driving out to Wixom when they had 96 and 696 all torn up, and that was about an hour and 35 on a good day.
Yeah, I live in Flushing and work in Auburn Hills, so it's a 15-mile stretch in 75 just tears everything up.
I feel like 75 is constantly under construction.
Yeah, well, they've been moving it around. They did Detroit up to like 696, and 696 through 59, now they're on the northern part.
And then by the time they get all of that done, it'll be rinse and repeat, and they'll move back south and redo the stuff they did a couple years ago.
Yeah, they got their job security.
Just like the Golden Gate Bridge, they never stop heaving it. KCKGL, what's going on, guys?
Going on, Tom. I get the bridge thing, though, because it's exposed to salt water and stuff, and, you know, you got to maintain it so it doesn't start to decay, but in my opinion, it's like, why don't you just build the roads right the first time here, and you don't have to redo them every 4 years? Leftovers from yesterday, but all right, gents. Lance, drive safe. Tom, drive safe. I'm pulling in the driveway here, so I'll catch up to y'all later. N8DF.
Most of the time, it's not worth it for me.
Well,
Well, I think I get paid, I get 3.5 over 8. So, you know, if I work a 12-hour day, then I get 4 hours at 5.5. But if I work the next day, I only work 6 hours, I still get paid for 8.
Yeah, we're salary, so we kind of use that as a, you know, it's better than a poke in the eye.
I am a suppy, so I get paid hourly union wages. Not a lot, but, you know, it is what it is. Overtime, that's like $50 an hour for me.
Yeah, that's when you make the real deal.
Yep, I make us the money and the government take us away.
My little bit back.
Yeah, my son is learning that the hard way. He's now adulting, and because of what he does, he went up into a whole new tax bracket. So, he's barely getting anything back.
Yeah, I've had mine messed up, and since I've been divorced, like, we were after having to, like, throw extra in just to not owe like $2,000 at the end of the year, and I haven't mucked with it since then, and I keep getting a whole bunch back. I'd rather have that to my wallet throughout the year instead of getting it back. I mean, I haven't asked for it back, you know.
Yeah, I've been married for, what, 32 years. Wife hasn't worked in 10. So, I don't know what type of tax bracket that is, but IRS sent me a little lumber. Says, hey, you haven't updated your W-4s. I'm like, oh, shoodles. So, did that this year, and get that all rearranged. So, I think I'm good to go.
Yeah, they've got pretty convoluted now, too. I was trying to figure out how to plan that a little better to not get so much back, but not know if it's going to be left a little wiggle room, but how do I fudge these numbers to get that to happen?
Well, you used to be able to change your dependents and, you know, bouncing around over the year, but you can't do that anymore. You can do it with state, but you can't do it with federal. Federal is what it is, and that's what it is. If you don't got any kids, then, you know, you can't bounce that, those extra dependents around anymore. And I just forgot to do it. I forgot to change it when my daughter dropped off. So I'm like, crud.
As long as you don't get too much, don't owe too much into the year, and Uncle Sam get mad at you.
Yeah, they just want their cut, and, I mean, I vote over the past few years, so it's no big deal. I send them a payment every 2 weeks automatically, and they're all good with that. They leave me alone. They're not looking for anybody. They're not looking for the common Joe like you and me. They're looking for the ones that are skidding on a $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 that they owe, you know, over so many years. They're not looking for the under 10 people.
Yeah, I watch YouTube, and they channel, they go through people's finances, and you wouldn't believe how many people just don't bother paying their taxes. They're like 3 years behind.
I'm a little bit behind, but I said, you know, no big deal. I just keep sending them, you know, every couple weeks, and they're good with that. I've talked to them before. I'm like, hey, this is all I can afford. They're like, that's good. As long as you're sending us something, you know, we're not going to come knocking on your door kind of thing. So both state and federal are pretty cool. I get along with the state people. I talk to them every so often. They're really cool.
as long as you're making an effort.
All they care about is that you're making an effort to pay what you owe. They know you don't have a lot of money, you know, and everything else like that. As long as you're making an effort, they don't bother you.
Those people are always, they're like contractors that just, that are all, you know, self-employed or 1099s, just don't bother doing it. They owe everything. And I don't know how the, other people get the goodbye life.
Casey, KGO. You know, those are the ones that if they don't pay attention, it'll come back and bite them in the end. And, I had a friend that happened to. They let somebody else, one of their co-owners, whatever, handle the paperwork, and didn't realize that he was not doing the right thing, and they ended up owing a lot of money, but they worked it out, and it took them a good 5 or 6 years to get it all straightened out, and now they're all good to go, got it all taken care of.
Back with interest and everything. of course, on the flip side of that, if they owe you money, then it's a whole different story.
You know, that's the thing, too. Like I said, you know, I don't owe a lot, but, you know, I owe under $5. And, you know, you got the interest in that stuff. It's really not a lot of interest, but if there's one year that I actually am owed, you know, if I'm owed like $200 or $300, they just take it off. They say, hey, you owe us this much, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm not going to cry over it.
Yeah, same for that.
You lost you a little bit there. You get, I don't know if it's me with the popcorn or you with the popcorn, but I'm at 696 Woodworks, so I shouldn't be too bad.
Probably me. I'm getting far from Mr. Peter, and he swung over to the other one, and I don't think it's linked right now, so I have to say 7-3 is the idea.
I'll say 7-3, drive safe, and I'll probably catch you on the flip on another hit somewhere on the repeater. You'll put it to you from KCKKGO.
WADAP. KF8S, WADAP.
NAKPP. What up, Mr. John? Want to get some Chinese? Bring it home.
Oh, that sounds so good. I ended up getting 2 pieces of Bishani's pizza before I headed out to Whitmore Lake.
I like mine better.
So, chicken, sour chicken with fried rice or beans. I get the lo mein.
Mongolian beef with egg roll.
I've never had that one yet. Where do you get yours from?
China King on 23 Mile over there by the Kroger. You know, they're all a little different, and everybody's got their own particular kind of what they think Chinese should be, and that's I like our second favorite. Our first favorite is the one at like 21 and Carr or something of that nature, the Blue Moon. 21 and Garfield, I have just been corrected, and that's our favorite. That one's really, really to our liking, but this is our second bestest, and I don't have to drive as far. And I'm not a DoorDash or Uber Eats or any type other type of guy, so this will do.
I actually get mine from Leon at around 20 and a half, 21 in Gratiot. He's got pretty good sour chicken and his shrimp and lobster sauce. Yeah, it's pretty good for my wife's standards.
You said 21 in Gratiot, right?
Yeah, he's at 21 in Gratiot. It's family-owned. Real good people there. And they got pretty decent prices, pretty decent food. Now, there's a Chinese buffet in Fort Gratiot that we go to every so often. That isn't too bad.
Yeah, I like that, too. Marion's birthday's coming up, and she wants to go to Ichiban. Or one of those. We like that stuff too. That's really good. But I think it's the same one. That's China King. That's over in Chesterfield, 21 and Gratiot. That's where I used to live. And this one here at 23 by the Kroger is also called China King. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's the same or not. But it's pretty close to that.
Steakhouse. You ever try Kyoto's Japanese Steakhouse? You know, the one where you sit there and he throws the shrimp in his hat.
Yeah, Shogun, Ichiban, and there's one over there by Costco, but I've never tried that one, the one you're talking about.
Well, there's that one over by the, what is it, the AutoZone on Shaner and Hall Road called Teapot Korean Barbecue. I haven't tried it yet, but it looks interesting.
Okay, well, you caught Marion's attention, so I guess we'll have to try that one sometime, too. So, other than that, it's kind of a cooling down night. They said the weather's going to get really ugly this weekend, too, and we shall see.
Yeah, I'm going to try to touch base with you on Wednesday. I'm going to be at Morelli's in Southfield all day. Doing their system there. Tomorrow I'm going to Grand Rapids, so tomorrow's a bus. But I was going to try to touch base with you on Wednesday, stop by and drop off the Motorola.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get some stuff in there updated and get all the MI5 stuff in there so when you travel, and then I can set up one zone to do it automatically.
Yeah, because Friday, I am going to Battle Creek, so that's going to be a day trip there.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm kind of corralled at the office all week. Tomorrow morning, I got appointment at 9 o'clock, but that's only on Hall Road, and I forget, Hall or something.
Well, if you're going to be in the office Wednesday morning, I'll just stop by Wednesday morning and drop it off for you. I'm going to be zipping right by there anyways, going to the freeway.
Okay, that'll work. And if I'm not there, just hand it to one of the people in there and just say, here, get this to the senior. I'll take care of it. Sir, I got to step out for a minute. Thank you. Thank you. Going into this new China thing. Get a picture of what looks like an apple. Yes, sir. I'll be back in a minute. And then give me a week.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
I got a Chinese food update for you, Tom.
talking to us.
I'm getting a do-do-do-do-do. I don't know where that's coming from. Shiny King was the same one as the one in Chesterfield, and he sold the one in Chesterfield a couple years ago, but the original two were the same, and it's still the same food as the one in 21 in Gratiot. So there's the update. So it is the same cook, you know, same recipes, same guns, everything's done the same. But she said she's not sure what it's like nowadays because new owners have taken it over. So I guess she was kind of like telling me she wasn't sure of the timeline. But if you're bombing like I am back a few years back, then if the taste is the same.
Okay, so Leon's, he's telling me the new Chinese King that was over at 21. Oh, the Chinese King in 21 degrees, and that's across the street. I know where that one is. It's over there by the subway.
There you go. Hey, just a second. Hey, Sean, what's the beep, 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 beep I hear on the Richmond repeater? You're not on the Richmond repeater, are you? No, you're too far away.
Oh, I'm not. I'm staring at the tower.
When I let go, do you hear like four or five beeps? Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, after you drop the mic, I get the beeps, and then I get the drop out of the repeater. And it popped up right after you left the vehicle to go inside.
Okay, so I don't know if that's transposing across to the Warren repeater, but if Sean's listening, your repeater is going beep, 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 beep at the end of the Q cell. And it can't be beep.
Yeah, I thought maybe you hit something on your radio when you jumped out. It was like right after that. We said, I'll be right back. And then all of a sudden the beep started coming in. And I thought it was me because I had the power up too high, but I dropped me down to 5 watts and it's still doing it. So I don't know where it popped up from. PCKJO.
It's just that our signals are so perfect, just giving us applause.
Hey, is that thing this Saturday at 9 o'clock? Is that when we're doing it?
I thought it was in March.
Oh, I thought there was a Simplex test or a Simplex check that was coming up. I got to look at the email again from Dave. But whenever you want to coordinate with it, like I said, we'll do it together. I'll meet you there.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was March. Tentatively, we plan on using Simplex test just for the point-to-point, and this is going to be the control channel.
Yeah, I thought something was happening February 8th, too, but, I mean, I could be mistaken. I heard it, but I didn't hear it, you know, so, I don't know, we'll figure it out on the next meeting, I guess, but I got another guy up in Lapeer that seems interested in it. He's itching to get back on the air. I told him I'd keep him up, and maybe he can come down, and then we'll go together kind of thing. He's got I think he's got a Yaesu or an ICOM, whatever one that does fusion, and, so then we could do a cigarette lighter plug on it, stick it in there, put a, you got a main mount, we'll stick it on the roof and play.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Okay, sir. I gotta let you go. We're almost home. Took the doggies for a little ride, and they're all excited. So, these are good. Other than that, I'm going to be clear after yours. N-A-K-A-B-B.
Well, I'd be excited, too, if I had just don't see he's in the truck and I wasn't getting any. Have a good one. Have a good night. 7-3. Drive safe. Stay warm. K-A-K-J-O.
N-A-K-P-P with all the exciting BBB beats. Later. W-F-U-N-A-K-P-P.
That's definitely the Richmond repeater.
Yeah, I just hit the repeater and heard it. In the driveway. Thank you, baby.
Yeah, I'll be him, Sean, when I get home. KCK deal clear.
Thank you.